When we look at theater, when we look at storytelling, when we look at children, when we look at children in South Africa, how dare we not do what we need to do? When I think, I put it to you, that most people would agree with me that where there's such a thing as the universal language of childhood, play would be its name. If we had something called the universal language of childhood, its name would be play. Every child everywhere in the world plays and loves to play. What is theater then, if it is not play, as we call the units of theater plays? And the dictionary tells me a play is a literary work written for performance on stage. But to children, the whole world is a stage. Where they are is a stage. When they're in bed, it's a stage. When they're looking at you, to children, these boundaries don't exist. All the activities of childhood, that should be without harm or hurt, that children enjoy, and they do those things because they enjoy them. That's play. But because children don't live by themselves, unfortunately, they have us, the grown-ups, who bring rules. That's what we're talking about, the first speaker was talking about. And then we interfere with what the children are doing. My prayer and my hope, directed specifically to ACTED South Africa, is that this healthy, fun-filled thing, enjoyable, called play, will spread in South Africa. Because if there's anywhere in the world where ACTED could really be of great service, that place is in this country. Intercultural exchanges and diversity were meant for South Africa. The entire world needs them. The entire world needs diversity. But in South Africa, we are diversity, except we have not come home to it. Not yet. Diverse as we are, we have not yet learned to relish that fact, enjoy it, and allow it to enrich us as a nation. We say today the world is a village, and that's true. And I would say it beholds the peoples of the world, the peoples of the village, so to speak, to get busy about the business of knowing one another. In South Africa, that phenomenon was deliberately rearranged so that it was not impossible until very, very recently in our history for the children and the peoples of this country to see themselves as one, to get to know one another, accept one another, relish one another. We have not come home to that, diversity we have done long. Alas, I cannot say we have come to the cultural exchanges that would upset anybody if I stand aside from the sun that's kind of beating on my face. My delicate complexion can't take the sun. Today, the children, South Africa's children, today's children, not us, not yesteryear's children, unlike their parents and their grandparents, they deserve that cultural exchange that will enable them to grow together, knit into a nation. That's what we want. That's what we say we want. But what are we doing towards that end? That's the job of ASIDEG and other entities like it. Unlike their parents and their grandparents, who were deprived of that opportunity, today the born fees have that opportunity. But on any day of the week, go to any theater or cinema in South Africa. Anyway, if you see a child who looks like me yet, you'll be very lucky. There are other things other than love that keeps children who look like me out of the theater. It's called money. It's called opportunity. It's called know-how. It's called the nurturing that they need from their own parents, their teachers, their preachers, people who are supposed to be raising the next generation, and we are failing them. We need to grant them the liberty of thought. Grant them the immense pleasure of discovery of who they are as the children of this nation, irrespective of what color they come bearing to the world. Scientists tell us today that this thing that South Africa so focused on, called color of skin, guess what? It makes less than 1% of the human being. Can you believe it? This racial division, you are black, you are colored, you are less than 1%. This is the theater, the stories, the songs our children need to be drinking now in this country. To be free of the feelings of inferiority or superiority, things that kind of make your soul heavy. Because it gives you a sense of not being quite good enough or too good to be true. You know, after 1994, when I look at my white fellow, country people, countrymen, countrywomen, they may not know this themselves. The relief I saw on people's faces, rid of this burden of pretending every day to be superior. Now they can walk about, they can laugh, they can stop being white and just be human beings. We were all in kind of ghettos, yes, some more comfortable than others. But it is such a pleasurable thing, what I call being truly South African, to have people you call friends who don't look like you, who didn't hear the same language when they were in Mama Benny. That's why we call it mother tongue. So that you get to know the real differences, the cultural differences, how people sit at table. You learn that what happened there was no table when you were growing up at your home. Which fork to use when? That kind of thing. Why people who have money eat raw food? I had a lot of learning to do when I grew up and started mixing around. They have all these wonderful appliances. Raw food. Why? But that's what makes life exciting, when we learn from one another, when we have these exchanges. Growing up, who would have made me ever believe that from my little life, people could learn anything? It was through these cultural exchanges that I grew into the realization that white people don't know everything. Oh no, when I was little, they were white, they were rich, they were happy. Is there anything else that defines people who are white? They don't care if it's white, rich, and happy. I had a lot to learn to come to the realization, not that white people were inferior, And that they were not superior was a step from down here up into the clouds. Because by so realizing, I also claimed my own humanity. We need to grant the children of this nation the opportunity to be enriched by the diversity. That's why once upon a time we were called the Rainbow Nation. The diversity that is South Africa is here to stay, is an integral part of being South African. Insoluble, irreversible, irrevocable. It is so today, it will be so 100 years to come. That is why then, when you said those last words, it is our duty as society to help the children, today's South African children, to grow into this realization when they are little, not when they are 5 and 10, when they are babies. They should grow seeing everybody and seeing everybody in similar situations. This is our duty, to raise everybody up so that the discrepancies begin to disappear. We should be fighting for a better education. And in that education, we should be insisting that play gets as much attention as science and maths. It is important that we not only raise scientists who can be doctors, but the doctors have soul and heart. You cannot do this imbalance of thinking that one thing is more. The human being is an entity and needs all the parts. You don't need a genius who is a science and then becomes a monster. You need people with brain and heart. You need people with feeling and skills. You need people who are well brought up, well nurtured, and comprehensive in their beings. No teacher, and I used to teach, so I know what I'm talking about, at least in teaching. No teacher who can play should be inflicted on the young. No. No teacher who can play, who doesn't play, who doesn't enjoy playing, should teach. No, no. The whole point of teaching is to transport children into feeling that they can fly. If you yourself can't fly, you can't make anybody else fly. You know, learning, all learning should be fun. It should be exciting because it's about awakening something in the human being. You're not taking it in a bucket and pouring it into. It's already there. All you're being asked is to wake it up. That's all you're being asked. People come to the world with everything they will ever need. Your duty as a teacher is to wake it up. Huh? Not to bring it, not to buy it, not to pour it in. The child is already there and the child is ready to grow and bloom. And we should see it both as a huge and honor and a privilege to be called upon to be a part of someone's becoming. Here's this little life becoming, and you are called upon as a teacher or as a playwright or as a theater person of whatever kind, you are called upon to be part, to help this little person become. What an honor, what a privilege is ours. If you can't make a game of something you're teaching, you shouldn't be teaching it, I think. Play to a child is like religion. And it only gets mad when we interfere, as I said, with our rigid rules. People must, you know, we make it look like and feel like work. And then it stops being a thrill. Teachers who really teach, who are good teachers, and you touched upon that, also learn. You can't teach anybody anything and not learn. You learn as you teach. If you teach and you learn nothing, something wrong. You both grow, the teacher as well as the learner. You both grow. The same with theater. You can't be part of a play, any part, if you're not enjoying it, if you do not learn anything, if you don't become lighter in spirit. That's the whole point. South Africa, I'm focusing. I know the whole world needs this, but really my focus right now is what is happening or not happening in South Africa post-1994. We need to be telling stories that affirm us in our diversity. Affirm us in our diversity. That means not only should I be angry, annoyed when somebody is putting black people down, I should be angry and annoyed when somebody is putting white people down. I be not white, but racism is racism. It doesn't matter if it's standing on its head. It is still racism. We shouldn't be comfortable with racism. It doesn't matter who is doing it down. Because if you allow hatred to grow, it will grow and become such a terrible thing that in the end, only one family will survive. You can always find people to exclude. Exclusion is ugly, is counterproductive, and you will never meet a nation together as long as there are people who are unhappy, who feel threatened, who feel excised out of the, you know, the compound. We have a duty in South Africa, and that duty is rather urgent. We need to open our hearts as well as our minds to accept our diversity, to affirm our diversity, to enjoy our diversity, and to encourage everybody to respect it, embrace it, not just accept it, embrace it. It is ours. We are all here within these geographical entities. We better play with that reality. We better own it and make it our own and show it in the stories we tell, in the plays we write and perform. Because it is the only way forward. Like poverty, as long as we live with this food economic thing in South Africa, we will never be happy. We will always leave those who have two pennies to rub together hiding behind high walls. Those are self-inflicted because we haven't done anything about economic transformation. As Mampela Rampela said in her new book, Dreams, Betrayal, and Hope. The fattest part is the hope part. I like the book. Dreams, Betrayal, and Hope. She said in 1994 we got a settlement that's on a, like the three-legged pot, you know the three-legged pot. He says, well, we're standing on this one leg, the political transformation. Where is the economic transformation? Where is the spiritual or emotional transformation? We need all three. These are the stories we need to tell. So that kids don't go around breaking statues of long dead people. You know, so that we have stories that teach us that instead of digging up, you know, it breaks my heart when I see grown men and women, same people, sweating, digging up roads. Roads that are already built, a perfectly good one, like you see the cars here, is called protest. The road is there, the robots, street lights are standing there, people hang on those and break them. The robot is there for your safety. You pull it down, you're protesting for something. We need a place that shows the most effective way of protesting is what? Your vote. You don't need to sweat. You don't need to toy. That belongs to pre-1994. When you could not tell that government that I don't like what you're doing, I don't like, no, now all you need to do is look like a lady or a gentleman and just put an X. That's all. And that government will do what you want it to do. Believe me, you don't need to break roads, break the robots, stone people, stone. No, just go vote the right way. The right way is the way that tells you whoever is not giving you what you want, go to Honolulu. That's the other one. So this is what I'm looking for. This is what I should be writing. I'm not writing what I should be writing. I'm doing other things. The play, in play, a child makes a world. When they are playing, children make their own world. They inhabit that world. They work in that world, co-create with others if it's a group thing, and learn to be alone in that world, or to be alone with others in that world. They learn to give and take, to share. They learn to understand themselves better and understand others. They learn and become human. You can never grow up completely with any degree of integrity, I believe, if you do not play. Something in my mind a long time ago, I've stopped, the my talk is done. I'm just assessing now. I was about 12, 14. We were on the beach. I won't tell you about the one side, but I remember making two, this is me before I had, yeah? And I realized I wanted this, but I didn't want the others elsewhere. And I also realized, yo, umanuzan, I like to play. Play is like, and I'm never going to stop. I was looking at all these dummy people, all that people not playing. And I made a vow, I promised myself, I would never stop to play. Me, come August 74, I am still playing.